So we are learning Sukkah. I believe we're up to the Mishnah Chaf Beis Amud Aleph and the Gemara following. Is that that's sort of what I thought we were up to? So let's go. Let's get to it. Zok the Mishnah. Sukkah Hamiduv Lelet. A sukkah, which is something. I don't know exactly how we would translate the word Miduv Lelet. The Gemara has a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel what Meduv Lelet means. According to Rav's opinion, Meduv Lelet means a sukkah aniyah. It means a poor sukkah. My understanding of how Rav gets there, and this is just conjecture, is that the word dal means poor. So it's like, you know the song Yirak Rak Yirak Shabi Rokim Adam Dam is Adam Shav Adomim, right? You know what I'm talking about? But Rashi, like in Parshas Tazria, says that like very green is Yirak Rak, and very red is Adam Dam. So it could be that Miduvlal means very dal, very poor. I think that's how Rav might be getting that to that point. Shmuel says that Miduv Lelet is not a real word. Thank you, Tanya. Yes, it's really great. It's a really funny video. Shmuel says that Miduv Lelet is not a real word. It's really Mibul Belet, right? And they just threw, I don't know, like somehow the word got messed up in the Mishnah. That's how I understand Shmuel. Okay, but Zok the Mishnah. Sukkah hamiduv lelet. If you have a sukkah that one of these things happened, vishatzilasa meruba mechamasa, and there is more shade than sun, kshera. That sukkah is kosher. So Rashi already commented that miduv lelet, we don't know what it means. Gemara told me it's machlekes Rav and Shmuel. And silasa meruba mechamasa, Rashi comments, we know this already from the first Mishnah in the Masechta. We know that for a sukkah to be kosher, it has to be more shade than sun. So why does the Mishnah over here have to repeat it? So Rashi basically tells me, you know what? The two cases are not the same. It's not exactly the same halacha as it is in the first perek. Not only that, the cases actually contradict each other and the Gemara will deal with it. That's really what Rashi said. And we'll have to get there, but probably not tonight. So if you have a sukkah miduv lelet, it's kosher. If you have a sukkah that has more shade than sun, it's kosher. Hamu'uva kimin bayis. If you have a sukkah that is very thick, the schach is thick enough like a house, and afal pi she'ena kochavim nirin mitocha, you cannot see the stars because it's so thick, kshera. It is still kosher. This is actually one of the more popular misconceptions in Judaism, no? People think, oh, the sukkah can't be kosher because you don't see the stars. It's not true. It's not true. That's a beferish Mishnah. Next time someone tells you that, like you say, what, you never learn sukkah, daf chaf beis amud aleph? It's beferish in the Mishnah. You don't even have to do the Gemara. But the Mishnah says that if you don't see the stars, it is still going to be kosher, but you get the impression from the Mishnah that it's bidyeted. Right? The Mishnah says, even though you can't see the stars, it's kosher, implying that l'chatchila, you should be able to see the stars. Okay. Zok the Gemara. Mai meduv lelet. Like, what does this word mean? So, amarav, it means a sukkah aniyah. Rav says it is a poor sukkah, meaning it's impoverished, right? Meaning there are very few pieces of schach and there's a lot of air there. But nonetheless, it still is going to be kosher because you have more shade than sun. Right? That's the way Rashi understands Rav's statement. You get an impression that it's not such a chiddush, no? The halacha is that a sukkah with more shade than sun is kosher. So you could be more shade than sun in terms of like 80% shade. You can be more shade than sun with 51% shade. But for some reason, Rav is saying that even though it's 51% shade, it is going to be kosher. And Rashi adds that ein bo shlosha biyachad, meaning there's a lot of airspace, but you don't have three tfachim of airspace together, meaning that the halacha, as we know, is that there's a din of lavud, that anything within three tfachim is considered attached. You can't have, even if you'd have more shade than sun, but if you have a three tefach gap in the middle, that would invalidate the sukkah. Hello, Tanya.
Hi, Rabbi Schwartz. So I'm sorry, but our chavrusas had a little, we remembered learning with you, or two of us remembered learning with you, that lavud might not apply to a horizontal plane, or are we misremembering?
So the Gemara has a machlekes on Yud Ches or something, whether there's a din of lavud be'emtza, or there's no lavud be'emtza. That was a Gemara, Yud Ches Amud Aleph. Yes, machlok is between Rav Acha and Ravina. Yes, there was such a machlok. Yes, it's also true as a matter of halacha that just having three tefachim of airspace will not necessarily invalidate the sukkah, because avir only passes the sukkah if it's avir haholech al pnei kula, if you have coast to coast. Right. If it's not coast to coast, so it doesn't really invalidate the sukkah. I think what Rashi is getting at, you see, that's the Tosis on Yud Zayin Amud Aleph about Avir, that says that it has to be Avir al pnei kulo. And the Gemara that Tanya is referring to is the Gemara on Yud Ches Amud Aleph about whether there's Yesh Lofud Be'emtza or Ein Lofud Be'emtza. That's a case like when you have like the stach all the way around and you have some open space in the middle. Is that going to be kosher? Yes. I mean, so we're making assumptions in the way we're presenting, or Rashi is making assumptions, which, okay, that's what he's doing. The chiddush of Rav, Zok Rashi, is that even though you do not have three tefachim together, nonetheless, it is going to be, one second, pardon me. You cannot, right, you cannot have a gap of three tefachim. It's only going to be kosher if it's an impoverished sukkah. If it's sukkah miduflalas, it's only to be kosher if you do not have three tefachim gap between them. That is Rav's shita. Shmuel Amar, kana ola v'kana yored. Shmuel says that the sukkah miduflalas means that you have kana ola kana yored, which means that the sukkah is not on one level, right? If this is my sukkah, so I have some schach like this, and then I have some schach like this. It's two levels of schach. It's kana ola, kana yored. That's what Shmuel tells me. The Gemara explains, Rav Tani Chada, Shmuel Tani Tarti. Rav warns that the Mishnah is saying one case. According to Shmuel, the Mishnah is saying two cases. Rav Tani Chada, Rav has a single case. Sukkah Miduvlelas, Main Miduvlelas, Midulodelas, Shetzilasa, Meruba, Mechamasa. Right? Rav learns that Miduvlelas means it's impoverished, Midulodelas, which means shatzilasa meruba mechamasa. When our Mishnah says sukkah miduvlelas v'shatzilasa meruba mechamasa, according to Rav, that is all one case. Right? What it means is just a single case of a sukkah that is impoverished, very thin schach, and therefore there's more shade than sun. Shmuel tani tarti. According to Shmuel, the Mishnah is saying two separate cases. My miduvlelas, mivulabelas. According to Shmuel, Mituflalas means it's all mixed up. It's two layers or whatever. Vitartiktani, and the Mishnah tells me two things. Mibulabelas kishera. Vitilas mubmechamasa kishera. Mishnah is saying two things. One thing is that the sukkah, if it's on multiple levels, it's going to be okay. The another din is that if it's lasam rubmechamas, that's okay. Meaning, according to Rav, the Mishnah is like saying pshat in itself. It says sukkah miduvlelas, and miduvlelas means silasim rubamechamosa, it's okay. But according to Shmuel, there are two separate halachas in the Mishnah. That is, that's what we have. Oh. I want to read on in the Gemara, and then I want to come back and do these tosas a little bit. So let's go on. Amar Abayi. Lo shanu ela she'en bein ze lo ze shlosha tfachim. Aval yesh bein ze lo ze shlosha tfachim psula. So who's Abaye commenting on? Rav or Shmuel?
Shmuel?
Shmuel, right. There's Abaye saying that when you, Shmuel, said that a sukkah that's kana ola, kana yored is going to be okay, it cannot be that there is more than three tfachim between this and this, right? If there is more than three tfachim between these two layers, then it's going to be pasul. Meaning, according to Abaye, the chiddush of Shmuel is that we say lavad even on the two levels. Thing. That's the way Abaye learns it. Amar Rava, afil yesh bein ze leze shlosha tefachim nami lo amaran ela she'en bigagol tefach. Aval yesh bigagol tefach kshera de aminon chavot rami. If you have more than three tefachim, it's going to be kosher according to according to Rava, providing that it is one tefach, meaning to say, if this is my sukkah, so I have my lower sukkah, let's say, and I have my top sukkah. Let's say there are five tefachim between them. So according to Abaye, this is no good. But Rava says it's going to be good based on the principle of chavot rami, which means providing this thing is one tefach is the bare minimal size of a roof in halacha. Once it is one tefach, so then chavot rami. How do we translate the words chavot rami?
Jastrow helped us out.
Okay.
So we hadn't heard of it, but it sounded like it was like another like good office kind of thing where it becomes a slanty thing that then becomes straight is how we kind of deciphered it, that it's considered as if it's flat.
Avot Rami, so you said it's like a good asik type of thing.
Achis, going down.
Good achis type of thing. That's like you're lowering the wall, right? And chavot rami, chavot really means to bang. It's chavata is to bang. Chavot rami is that you bang it and rami and it like falls on it, something like that. You bang it and it falls together. You smooth it out halachically. Rashi comments that exactly the point that you were making. Yeah, look at Rashi, She'en Begago. Right? Rashi writes, She'en Begago. Bekona ha'ola rochav tefach. If the upper one does not have the width of a tefach, delav shein ohel alei. Therefore, it's not called an ohel. La'achshuve ulamim rebe chavot rami. It's not an ohel to make it choshuv and to be able to say chavot rami, which means hashpeel. Chavot Rami means lower it and throw it on the air underneath it. Dahainu nami inyan gold aches. Right, Rashi says befevish. Chavot rami is the same as gold aches. Ella the inyan mechitza the habichuda shal mechitza shayech lo meimar gold aches. When I'm talking about a mechitza, so if I have a wall, so I'm going to say gold aches means it's like the point of the wall. I will lower that point of the wall. That's gold aches. I lower that point. It's about the chod. It's about the point of it. Gold aches means meshoch osa, pull it, v'horeid, and lower it. Ula inyan hamutal l'rochav, uba l'stom avir, shayich l'meimar chavata. Right? And the word chavata means something that is horizontal. Effectively, if it's a vertical zaktrashi, then use the term gold, because gold means like the corner. On a vertical thing, I only extend the corner. But if it's a horizontal thing and I have to drop the entire upper part of the schach, so then I use a term gold rather than, I use the term chavot rami rather than the term gold aches. That's the way Rashi learns it. Now, hi Zoe. By the way, your name over here doesn't have like the umlaut on top of the E.
I can't remember if I can do that on Zoom or not. Okay. I'll experiment after I've asked my question.
Yeah.
Okay. I've had this question since your first diagram, are we concerned, is there any importance that this is a kana? Like, is a reed playing into this in any way? We had kind of envisioned it as a sukkah where like some of it's pointing up in the reeds and some of it's pointing down, or were we completely misunderstanding that?
I mean, you understand that the orientation is like
of the like angle, the kani.
That like some of it's like this and some of it's like this.
Yeah. But with a gap between them. So like some of it's pointing downwards and some of it's pointing upwards with a veer between them.
I mean, again, it could be that that's correct. I haven't really thought about it. Yeah, it seems so from the way Rashi's explaining that the issue at hand is horizontal versus vertical. Okay. So horizontal, this is when they say chavot. I take this thing and I drop it. Mm-hmm. As opposed to a vertical thing that I just extend the corner.
Right.
So from Rashi, I don't get the impression that he's talking about slanty things. With slanty things, so we have to deal with like the question as to whether halacha only views perpendicular things or not. Like this is a big issue in Hilchas Erevin when you sometimes have a pole that's supporting the Erev wire and the pole is somewhat slanty. How does that affect the Erev? Does the halacha say that I go straight up from the height of 10 tefachim? Does the halacha follow the angle of the kana? So I'm not exactly sure what the halacha would be in that case. What I can tell you is that theoretically you can have a kosher sukkah with a pointy roof. Growing up, there was like a Reform temple across the street from my house, and they always had a sukkah with a pointy roof. And we were all like making fun of them. Ha, 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 that Reform temple. They don't know how to build the sukkah. It's like, actually, no, you little whatever. Their sukkah could be just fine. It's actually much nicer. It's kind of cool. Well, Orthodox sukkahs are kind of boring, you know, like lighten it up a little bit. But okay, that's a different story. So Rava is telling me that there is a halacha of chavot rami. The way Rashi is saying it, chavot rami is the halachic equivalent of good aches. Now the problem with good aches is that we don't really say good aches in Hilchos Sukkah, because the halacha is that if I have a mechitza shagadayim bokimba, if I have a mechitza tsluya, if I have a hanging mechitza and like the little animals can run underneath it, right? So that's a pasul mechitza. Maybe we don't really say good aches. Rashi apparently is saying, yeah, we don't say good aches like for the wall of a sukkah because it's not a preventative thing, but for the ceiling of a sukkah, right? The wall has to be some sort of barrier. The schach, the ceiling of the sukkah, has to be a mechitza. It doesn't have to be a barrier type of mechitza. Therefore, Zokt Rashi, I can use my good aches, right? Because it is not a barrier. That's really the way we did Tipi Sugya in here. Correct. Yeah, we did. Right. We discussed that. But that's the basic point that we're getting at. That effectively, Rashi is saying the Chavot Rami is the same as Gur Aches. Oh. But we only say Chavot Rami if it is one tefach, if it's a full shear of an ohel on top. Amar Rava. Mina amin Allah. T'chi is be tefach aminan Chavot Rami. T'chi les be lo aminan Chavot Rami. In other words, Rava seems to be proving that when you have one tefach, we say Chavot Rami. If you don't have a tefach, we don't say Chavot Rami. Rava is coming from the place, the premise that of course we say Chavot Rami. The only question is, how big does that upper thing have to be? So Rava's bringing this Mishnah in Ahalos and the Tosefta in Ahalos to tell me that you need a tefach. Ditnan. We learned as follows. Koros habayis v'ha'aliyah she'en aleihem ma'azeva v'hein mechuvanot. Okay, it goes like this. When we think of a roof, so our roof is really a bunch of boards, right? They're roofing boards, and then they put like pitch. They put tar on top, and that's what makes a roof, no? Our roofs happen to be teepee-shaped, as the expression now goes, but their roofs were most often flat. Okay, great. Now, if I have roof boards or roof supports, but there is no pitch on top, so basically what that means is, assuming this is like the, we're looking down, this is like our bird's eye view, so I have a bunch of boards over here. These boards are going to support roofing at some point, but right now there is no roofing there. So if I have koros habayis v'ha'aliyah, I have the boards of a house or an attic, shein aleihem ma'azeva, v'hein mechuvanos, and they are equal to each other. They are spread out evenly. Now, what it probably means, and this is where my the limits of my artistic ability are going to come up now. Let's say this is my house, right? And I have some boards, like ceiling boards over here, some ceiling boards over here, right, etc. This is what I have, correct? Now, the issue at hand in Maseches Ahalos is whether the tumah will spread throughout this house. So it's mechuvanos, meaning that they are one on top of the other, one directly on top of the other. So tumah tachas achas mehen, tachteha tameh. If there is tumah over here, this is our dead guy, right? There's tumah over here. So the area underneath this is going to be tameh, right? All this area is going to be tameh. Right, orange is the color of tuma. Bein hatachtona le'elyona. If you have the dead guy between, right, this and this, right, the dead guy is over here between layer one and two. Beinehem tamei. So this area between them is going to be tamei also. Because, again, you have an ohel. So there's a dead guy here. So the tumah goes through that area. Al gabe ha'eyona, if the tumah is on top of the higher, the uppermost one, right? That's our dead guy. So in that case, kenegda ad l'rakia tameh. In that case, the tumah shoots up all the way to the heaven. Right? The basic halacha is that tumah that's contained in an ohel, the ohel is both mevi es hatumah, and the ohel is chutzit bifnei hatumah. There are two halachas of an ohel. One halacha of an ohel is that it's mevi es hatumah, meaning that the entire space underneath that ohel is tumah. So this entire area is filled in with tumah, right? Because there's a dead guy over here. The whole area is filled in. That's called mevias hatumah. But it's also chotzit bifnei hatumah, right? Chatzita bifnei hatumah means that the tumah does not penetrate above this board. The tumah stops right there. No more tumah that goes up. However, if the tumah, the dead guy, is on the roof over there, the topmost area, so in that case, the tumah goes all the way, all the way, all the way up, ad l'rakia. That's the halacha. Hello, Ms. Gutman. How are you?
I'm good. But did you not purposely make the roof go across the whole way?
Did I not make the roof go across the whole way on purpose?
Like, it's it patchworked. Is that what we're supposed to be seeing?
So I want it to be patchwork for the continuation of the Gemara, yeah.
Okay. Because the way we were understanding it was it could be a house with two floors.
Right. These purposes, so far, it could be it's a house with two floors. But okay. Once I'm going to begin invoking my Chavot Rami principle, so then it's not going to be exactly like that. So that's why I did it this way. But you're right. I mean, in other words, from what we said so far, it could be a simple case, right? A house with two floors. If the dead guy is over here, all right, the dead guy is over here versus the dead guy is over here. Those are the three cases. Mm-hmm. That's the way you want it. Great.
The point of the plaster, was that trying to show that it was not two floors, but it was like one roof? I didn't follow why we mentioned plaster.
So we mentioned plaster because when I'm talking about the Koros Habayis over here, it's not a full-fledged roof. Boards that would support the roof, and there is, or what we call the roof, so there is in Olayim Azeva, they didn't put the pitch there. It's not plastered on. Meaning, each of these little bits is just a board. You have a board on top of a board on top of a board. Okay? It's not like a full-fledged, usually when I think of a full-fledged ceiling, I think of something that's much more substantial. Right? It's wider. Right? My ceiling, it's like wide. It's not just like a board. Right? Over here, we're talking about only a board because it's in the mazeva, because you don't have the pitch there yet.
Part of my question from that, and this may also be Rachel's question maybe, was that we were understanding this as like floor one had a certain number of boards with a veer between them, and floor two kind of was a roof. We were understanding that. And it sounds like how you described it is that it's a series of boards overlapping on one of these layers. Am I understanding that correctly? Or
I think so. Again,
okay.
It's a series of boards overlapping. So this is layer one. This is layer two. There's
a veer between them.
There's some of them between them, right?
Okay.
And that's why our friend Chavot Rami is going to come and play a role now.
Okay.
But so far I have a fairly straightforward halacha that where I have the corpse, the board is mevi es hatumah and it's chotzit bifnei hatumah. The tumah doesn't go up. So Rav is going to prove from here that you need a tefach. Hayu ha'elyonos kibin ha'tachtonos, tuma tachtehen, tachas kulon tameh. If the elyonos are kibin ha'tachtonos, that's the case I have over here. The upper level is kibbein hatachtonos, like the open space in the lower level. This is imagined like the way Oz Yosher is written in the Torah. No? It's a riach agabi levina. You have the small ones on top of the break in the lower level. When the tumah is underneath it, so the entire thing is going to be tameh. In this case, I don't view it like the tumah is only underneath this board, but rather these boards somehow are mashlim. They make the entire area a single unit, and therefore this entire area is going to be tummy.
But in that case, the tumah is not going to rakia. It is contained.
The tumah is contained. It won't jump all the way up to the top. This becomes a single ohel. Just like in the case where I have tumah underneath one board, that board is mevias ha-tumah and chotetz. In this case, we have one board that's comprised of small little things that make one board. That's the case of, keep on losing me, please. Hay oyonos kibena tachtonos, right? That's this case. The oyonos is bena tachtonos. Then tuma tachtein tachas kulam is tamei. Al gabehen, if the tuma is on top, if the dead guy is over here, so then kinegdan adarakia tamei. Then it goes all the way up to the shamayim is tamei. Vitani ava, and the braisa, meaning the Tosefta in Ahalo, says, amurim bisman sheyesh behen tefach ubeinehem poseach tefach, avo ein beinehem poseach tefach, tumah tachas achas mehen tachteha tamei beinehem v'agabehen tahar. Right? Says the Tosefta in explanation of this case that the only time when I have this situation that the upper level is going to drop down and make it like this is all a single entity, and therefore the tumah spreads throughout over here, that's only true if it is a tefach. But if it is not a tefach, ein b'nei poseach tefach, if you don't have a tefach between them, so tumah tachas achas mehen tachtein tameh b'nei v'agabehen tahar. If it's not a tefach, if this middle thing, right, this upper level is not a tefach, so in that case, the only tumah is going to be directly underneath this board. Nothing else is going to be tameh. My scribbles make no sense. Okay, let's try this again. Each of these boards is a tefach. The question is, what about the upper level boards? So the Tosefta says that the only time when I say this magical halacha, that I drop the upper level boards, and that makes it like the tumah is all in this one area, and the tumah spreads throughout and throughout, right? The only way I say that is if this is a tefach. That's what the Braisa says. If it's not a tefach, so then, ein b'nei poseach tefach, if the space between them is not open tefach, which is a razzle-dazzle way of saying that the board on top of them is not a tefach, then tumah tachas achas mihen, then if there's tumah under one of them, tachteha tameh, b'nei v'agabehen tahar. Alma, ki is be tefach aminon chavot rami, v'chi les be tefach lo aminon chavot rami shmamina. So we see that the principle of chavot rami, we see from the halachos of tum'ah, the halachos of ohel, I see the principle of chavot rami is only when you have a tefach. If you do not have a tefach, you do not say chavot rami. Again, this is not beferish in the Mishnah Nahalos. This is the Tosefta's interpretation or elaboration on the Mishnah Nahalos. That's what we have so far. Is all is good in Judaism so far? So the halacha of chavot rami requires a tefach again, and to this extent, chavot rami is also very different than good achas. Good achas would only be true if I have a mechitza of 10 tefachim and I want to trap it, even if you hold that it's good achas. Right? Over here, right, when I'm talking about the ohel, the measurement for chavot rami is a measurement of one tefach. When you have one tefach, which is the minimum size of an ohel, then I say chavot rami. Good? Let's go weiter. Let's do this thesis. Remember, there is a machlokes in the Gemara about how I understand the words in the Mishnah of Sukkah Miduvlelas. So the version of Rav is Miduvlelas means it's impoverished. It's Midoldal, it's very poor. The version of Shmuel is that Miduvlelas means Mivolbelas, that it's all mixed up, meaning the levels of the Skach are not one on top of the other. Right, that's the position of Shmuel. That's called Kana Ola, Kana Yared. One beam on top, one beam lower. Kana Ola, Kana Yared. Zoktaisis. Shelo Hishve es Aspach, Vahashkiv es Hakonim, Ze Eitzel Ze. You didn't level off the Skach to make the boards one next to the other. Ella, Echad lamala, the echad lamata. But rather, one is on top and one is on bottom. Umitoch kach chamosa miruba mitzilasa. Zakt Rashi, Taisus is quoting from Rashi, that because it's kana ola kana yored, because my sukkah is on two levels, so therefore it is going to be Chamasa Miruba Mitzilasa, right? If the sun is over here, the sun is going to shine in and the sukkah will be more sunny than shady. The Ashmiina Masnisen, the Aminan Roin Koshi Ilu Hayu Mushkovin Beshave, Haisa Tzilasa Miruba Mechamasa Keshera, Kach Pirisha Kuntras. Rashi says that we view it that if they would be leveled off, right? If I draw my imaginary line and imaginarily raise the level of this lower thing, of this lower schach, so then it would be tzilasa miruba mechamasa. So here also it's going to be kosher.
So when Rashi says de amrinan ro'in, which was completely enigmatic to me, that's short for this whole sentence that's in Tosfos.
That, I think so, yeah.
So,
and as we say ro'in, meaning we use our halachic imagination. That's what ro'in means. In mitzius, it is chamasa ruba mitzilasa. But in halacha, it's tzilasa ruba mechamasa, because I use my halachic imagination to level the schach. That's the way Rashi learns the Gemara. Now, just to understand what's going on a little bit, you have to recognize that the Mishnah has two cases, one next to the other. It says sukkah mivol beles, let's say according to Shmuel, right? The sukkah is all, I need a better word. It's on two levels. It's mivol bal, it's all mixed up. And silas and rubmei chamasa. So Rashi is learning that what that means is that the halacha says it's silas and rubmei chamasa because it's mivobal. Right? I would have thought that this is considered chamasa and rubmei chamasa, kamash malan, that we use our halachic imagination, chavot rami, let's say, we employ that halachic principle. And Chavot Rami tells me that it is really tzilasa merubah mechamasa in halacha, even though in mitzias it is chamasa merubah mitzilasa. That's the way Rashi learns the Gemara. Oh. Mashma l'peirusho, says Taisus. Dikashe yesh bein zelazeh shlosha dipsula la'abaye hainu mitam chamasa merubah mitzilasa. Right? Tosis is saying, well, okay, until now we said this, right, within the shita of, we said this within the shita of Rava. Right? Rava is the one who invented this principle of Chavot Rami. According to Abaye, if I have the two-level sukkah, again, within Shmuel, that's a two-level sukkah, Abaye says it's only kosher if it's within three. If it's more than three, it's going to be a problem. What's the problem? Rashi is going to learn that the problem is, it is chamasa merubah mitzilasa. Effectively, the way Rashi is learning the Gemara of Taisus, I think this is a nice take on Rashi. Rashi is learning the Gemara that when it's puzzle because of chamasa merubah mitzilasa. So Rava holds of chavot rami. So Rava holds that if it's more than three, it's going to be kosher, because we drop it, we view it like it's all the same level, and therefore our halachic imagination says it's called tzilasa merubah mechamasa. Abaye says you cannot just say chavot rami. And if it's more than three tefachim between top layer and bottom layer, it's puzzle for Abaye. What's the nature of the psal? Why is it puzzle? Oh, so the reason why it's puzzle is because it is chamasa merubah mitzilasa. That's what Rashi is learning. Rashi is learning that the psul is because there is more sun than shade. V'lo yitachin. Tosa says this is not possible. It's not correct pshat. Dekeva di'ikayim machama b'rosh kol adam haisa tzilasa meruba. Ein lifsol bishvil chama haba min hatzad ba'alachson va'osa osa chamasa meruba. Right? Who wants to explain Taisus's kashan Rashi?
I'll just take a guess. Maybe I'm.
Yeah,
guess is that we're looking at the sun in a weird spot in the sky, and it's only if the sun is in that position where it comes through that slot.
Yeah, but I'd say that you're saying it almost backwards.
We understood it again to be with angles, that the problem was that the sun comes in at an angle. Not the problem, but like the sun comes in at an angle, and so we treat that differently, so that like for most of the day, your sukkah would be fine. There's just like a, you know, 15 minutes where it's off.
So I think it's actually the opposite according to Tosfos. According to Tosfos, it's only going to be more shade than sun if it's at high noon. At high noon, and the sun is right over here, so then there's going to be more shade than sun. At any other point, as the sun moves, so it's going to end up being more sun than shade, no? It's only at high noon when it's going to be more shade than sun. But Zok Taisvis, the halacha judges a sukkah based on the position of the sun at high noon. So you cannot tell me, says Tosis, that the sukkah is going to be puzzle, right? In the case, let's say according to Abaye, if you have the two-level sukkah and it's more than three tefachim, it's not puzzle because it's more sun than shade. Because halachically, sun and shade is not based on mitzias. Or, I'll say it differently, it's based on the mitzias of high noon. And at high noon, it's more shade than sun, so that's good enough. So just because there's a big gap and the sun ends up coming through, that does not make it more sun than shade. You could be sitting in a sukkah and get a sunburn. But it's a perfectly kosher sukkah because it's more shade than sun. How's it more shade than sun? I'm getting my sunburn. The answer is it's more shade than sun because at high noon, the sukkah would be preventing the sun from coming in. At other times in the day, and Tosa says we judge it based on high noon.
So, yeah. So I'm just trying to figure out like mechanics. So because of the way the sukkah is shaped, when the sun is in the middle of the sky, there's actually going to be less sun in the sukkah, even though noon is like the sunniest part of the day.
I think so.
But yeah, that's correct. Okay. It's just interesting.
It's interesting. Notice if the sun is over here, right? So then the sukkah is going to be pasul. It's only when the sun is right over here that the sukkah is going to be okay. Again, al pi halacha, the sukkah is always okay, is zoktosis, because I judge chamasa meruba mitzilasa based on high noon. Some of the achronim, oh, you changed it to umlau. Okay, yeah, Rachel?
I just had a question because first we're trying to understand Abaye through Rashi's eyes. And Rashi was saying, though, that it's an imaginary roof that we're creating. So even if there theoretically is Chamta Meruba, it doesn't matter because we created this thicker roof.
So let's go slowly. Rashi is saying that according to Rava, Chavot Rami tells me I create an imaginary roof. Chavot Rami smushes them together. But Abaye says I don't smush it together. Abaye says if it's more than three tvachim between the A level and the B level, it's puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why it's puzzle, Rashi implies, is because it is more sun than shade. That's why it's puzzle. Zoktosis, that's not called more sun than shade. Because Since at high noon, it is more shade than sun. So api halacha, it's called more shade than sun. I judge things based on high noon. That's why Tysus is learning it.
So then he has a whole issue with how Rashi understood the entire opinion of...
Tysus is going to disagree with Rashi's entire understanding of the Gemara. According to Rashi, the issue at hand in our Gemara is whether it's considered chamasa meruba mitzilasa. The times when it's puzzle, it's because there's more sun. The times when it's kosher is because there's more shade. Yes, I could say more sun and more shade is not a mitzias, it's a halachic thing. I could say that. But when I look at kosher versus puzzle, right? The kosher cases is all more shade. The puzzle cases is all more sun. And to some extent, like we pointed out, that's a simple read of the Mishnah because the Mishnah puts the cases together. Meduv lelas and chamasa meruba mitzilasa. Even if it's two separate cases, like Shmuel Tani Tarti, it's two separate cases, but nonetheless, there has to be some relationship between them or else we wouldn't have them juxtaposed. That's the way I'm putting this together so far. Yeah.
Does Tosafot have any basis for this high noon principle, or is this sort of Tosafot's invention?
Yeah, so where did Tosafot get this idea that we, based on the high noon principle? So I saw in Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach's notes, he says it's just reasonable. Because al pi halacha, I can have sukkah walls, and my schach could be considerably above the sukkah walls, no? I say a principle of good asik, right? I say that, right, we imaginarily draw the walls, they go all the way up. Now, there's a ton of airspace. Inevitably, there'll be more sun than shade. When I'm sitting over here, right? You could grow a whole tree there. I'm sitting over here, inevitably, there's more sun than shade. Still, it's going to be kosher, because if the sun would be at high noon, then the schach would block it off. Right? Similarly, some of the Achrayim say the same thing. I could have, let's say, transparent sukkah walls. No? I could have my sukkah walls that have no substance at all. And inevitably, it's going to be very sunny in the sukkah. Right? We have a discussion on Daf Beis about Seol Schacht, Seol Defanos, etc. Right? The issue at hand is there shade from the Schacht? That means, theoretically, I'm sitting in a sukkah, I'm getting my sunburn. That's fine. So Tosis is saying, it's clear from all of those cases that I judge it based on high noon.
Rabbi Schwartz, we talked about high noon before and the position of the sun, and I'm just not remembering where, but it had to do with it like making the size of a coin on the inside.
So that Gemara will come up.
We did it.
We did it. We invoked it on Daf Beis. And it will come up again on Chaf Beis Amud Beis. That line about the spreading, the big coin, the small coin, etc., is going to be the last piece of Gemara before the next Mishnah.
But it has to do with the position of the sun, if I'm remembering correctly. Is that right?
To a large extent. Not entirely. This is going to be machlokes rashi and taisus.
Okay, sorry, I didn't mean to take a stray. Just in follow-up to Zoe's question.
You are correct, but it involves more hesber, more elaboration. Oh. So Tosis disagrees. Tosis says, Elahainu taima, mishum delo choshev schach lehitz tarif ki haigavna, jish bin zelazah shlosha, avok hilaka shlosha, according to Tosfos, the issue is not about whether there is more sun than shade or not. According to Tosfos, the issue is simply that halacha says that you need tziruf, you need connection between the sections of the schach. If you have more than three tefachim between the lower level and the upper level, there's no, again, according to Abaye, if I have more than three tefachim between the upper level and the lower level, there's no tziruf between these pieces of schach, and therefore it's not going to be kosher. Rashi is saying that the halacha of schach is a halacha, again, if I would want to give like a little bit of explanation over here. According to Tosis, the issue is that schach has to be a single entity. You need tziruf. You need to combine it. So if the upper level is too far from the lower level, you can't combine it. Puzzle. Is halacha you need straight uniform schach. That's taisis. Schach is a mechitza, like we spoke about a few times. And you need a tzira for the mechitza. You have to combine the parts. Rashi is saying, I would argue, that schach is a mechitza, but it's a mechitza in a different sort of mechitza way. Schach is a mechitza insofar as it prevents sun from getting in. If it does not prevent the sun from getting in, that's not called a schach mechitza. You're right. The wall mechitzas are based on ordinary rules of tziruf, etc. When I talk about my horizontal mechitza, which is called schach, the reason why part A and part B would not connect halachically is because there is a mafsik between them. That mafsik is called the sun. Or, to say it slightly differently, according to Rashi, even though halacha is fairly clear, I think, that schach is a mechitza, but schach is not a mechitza governed by the same rules that all other mechitzas are governed by. Schach is a mechitza that's governed by not the regular dinim of tziruf, of three tefachim or not, but it's governed by whether there is sun that gets through. Now, of course, according to Rashi, and some of the Rishonim point this out, it's a little bit strange, because what Rashi is saying is the psul of more than three tefachim, according to Abaye, is because the sun gets through. Right? It becomes, let me just finish the point, Rachel. The sun gets through, that's why it's possible. But let's say this would only be two tvachim. The sun is still going to get through, but it's still going to be kosher. So how does that work? Right? Rashi is saying that the definition of tziruf by schach is to prevent the sun from getting through. But if it's three tvachim apart, so then the sun gets through. Two tvachim apart, it doesn't get through. What does that mean? The Ritva says, yeah, that's the mitzvah. The Ritva says, if it's less than three tvachim apart, the sun will actually be blocked. I have no way. It doesn't sound correct to me. I don't know. I'm sorry. Ms. Gutman, I cut you off.
Oh, no. I don't understand why we're understanding Rashi's reading of Abaye that way to be like a mitzvah question of the sun. Why can't it also, like, three tvachim is a number that we've brought up a lot. I mean, I think. So, like, it also sounded like to me like a halachic making of a roof. So, like, a halachic, like the same way that we were talking about, I don't remember names anymore. But the one.
So what you're saying is that basically that Rashi agrees with Tosus.
Yeah.
You could say that. The thing is, what Tosus is. Tosus is picking up on Rashi's point that within Rava, that we say Chavot Rami, the Chiddush is that it is not called Chamasim Ruba Mitzilasa. The Chiddush of Rava is that because I lower the Schach, so therefore it's as if they're all lying next to each other, and therefore we view it like it's Tzilasim Ruba Mitzilasa. Apparently, in the case where I do not say Chavot Rami, which would be, let's say, according to Abaye, if you have more than three tvachim, so then the psul would be because it is Chamas Rub Mitzilasa. That's Tosus's inference from Rashi. Is it compelling? Is it possible to learn Rashi differently? Maybe. I don't know. But I think what Tosus is being medayik from Rashi does have a certain reasonableness. Okay. So again, my understanding is as follows, that Tosfos, that if you'd ask me to touch up, to like explain the Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos, I would say that Tosfos is saying that the Schach Mechitza is a Mechitza like all other Mechitzas. And it just requires a din of Tziruf. Rashi is saying, you know what, a Schach Mechitza really has to block sun from coming through. That's a schach mechitza. When there's no tziruf, that means it's not blocking sun from coming through. Tosus, for some reason, views everything based on high noon. Rashi seems to be more inclined that in cases of no tziruf, so it's considered a chamasa mitzilasa for that reason. That's the way I understand this. Again, okay. Questions, comments, observations?
I think Tanya has a question, but also I have one. But Tanya, go ahead.
Go for it, Zoe.
You said the Chiddush of Rava is because I lowered the Schach something. I missed the second part of that. I'm not sure if you remember.
Because I lowered the Schach, so therefore it becomes halachically like it's Tzilasa Mubim Mechamasa. The way Rashi is saying it is that this case in Mitzios, there's more sun than shade. But because I use my halachic imagination to collapse these two, so therefore, halachically, it's more shade than sun. So Tosus argues on Rashi. Tosus says, no, halachically, right, this is, even without lowering it, it's considered more shade than sun, because I judge shade and sun based on my high noon. Tanya, you had a comment?
Sorry. Yeah, I'm still digesting the Gemara while we're doing the Tosfos, so I think that's probably my problem. But so this difference between Rashi and Tosfos is only within the world of Rav.
It's within the world of again, we're talking about within Abaye's pshat in Shmuel.
So because then within, I'm
we're
sorry,
not talking Shmuel, Rav right, does not sorry. Make it.
Right. So we're not talking within Rava is what I mean, because Rava makes a comparison with other kinds of walls and roofs.
Right.
And so then my other question, which might not be relevant, but it's just been bothering me, is once we talk about Lavud as working with roofs, does that work with Tuma? The way you kind of drew this staggered thing, if it's less than three tefachim, would that also work with a roof to have that principle of where the Tuma gets locked in, you know, between those two?
So I'm not a Baki in Maseches Aharos, obviously, but I think it's true. I think Lavud would have impact on the halachos of Tuma as well. I think the Ran over here speaks about that. Maybe for next week, we could look at that Rosh, which I just sent you a few minutes ago, and the Ran. Maybe we should discuss that next week, and then we'll go on. Yeah, Rachel.
Back to the Tosfos. So he was saying Abaye's saying Tziruf, and then Rava would be saying Chavot Rami. But
which
to
is
me,
another way of creating Tziruf.
Okay, that's what I was going to ask.
Right.
So then there's, sound like they're saying the same thing, which was our question on Rashi.
They're using the same halachic principle of Tziruf, but they have different shiurim of Tziruf. In other words,
okay.
Abaye is saying anything beyond three tefachim, there's no Tziruf. And Rava is saying no. Chavot Rami allows Tziruf, even if it's more than three tefachim. Okay, ladies, you should have a Shabbat Shalom, which is called Good Shabbos. And thank you for coming to learn.
Shabbos, thank you.
Thank you, Rabbi Schwartz.
All the
thank
best.
You. Have a good Shabbos.
I love you. Good Shabbos.
Yeah.
Thank you.